Have you ever heard somebody say something about somebody? They're just as stubborn as a bulldog. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah, a few people have. Maybe that's a Texas saying. I don't know. I know I heard it about all my life. But, you know, that is a good character quality if it's used in the right way. You know, that actually, what they're talking about, this person is tenacious. They are hold on to stuff. You know, sometimes that's all it takes to be successful. It's just hang on. You know, and a lot of times people, they will let go too easy of jobs, opportunities, faith in God. And so I want to talk tonight about hold fast to these things. Now, and I'm just going to use one clause out of this scripture, but I'm going to read it to you from Revelation 2, 24 through 26. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I'll put no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he that overcomes keeps my works until the end. To him I will go and give power. Now, in the NLT, that hold fast says, hold tightly on to what you have until I come. Here we see that John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he's writing to the seven churches of Asia there. And this one statement, but hold fast that you have till I come. New Century says it like this: only continue your loyalty until I come. The Good News says you must hold firmly to what you have. I think that God is telling the people there at Thyatira, you know, hold on to the things that you have. Don't let go. Now, according to Strong's Concordance, the Greek meaning of hold fast here is to use strength, to seize, to retain, to keep, to lay hold on, obtain, or retain. Now, we understand that God wants us to use our strength to hold on to what we have. You know, I guess this is true. I don't know. I've heard it all my life. Also, I've read it somewhere, that the reason a bulldog's nose is slanted back is so that he can still breathe while he's holding on to something with his mouth. Now, the bulldog is known, once it latches on to something, you can't get it loose until it wants to turn loose. Anybody ever know who Winston Churchill was? Young people probably don't, but he was actually Great Britain's most famous statesman probably there was, especially in the 20th century. He was known for his courageous leadership as Prime Minister of England or the United Kingdom, during World War II. He was known to have, and this is fact, to have a bulldog personality, being tenacious that he would never, had a never give up attitude. You know, they say this is revealed, reading from research, this is revealed in what was possibly the most well-known part of a speech he gave at a school he attended as a boy, the Harrow School, just outside of the city of London, on October 29, 1941. Never give in. Never, 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 in nothing, great or small, large or pretty, petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. You know, it's important that as we pursue opportunities in life, that we also hold on to what we already have. You know, sometimes people turn loose of what they have and start chasing the pot at the end of the rainbow that never appears. They go after anything that comes down the pike that sounds like it's going to be profitable. They let go of something that they really got a hold of that would eventually really give them something, and they take off with these get rich quick scheme. I finally got it out. Sometimes people doesn't see the value in what they have, and they let go of it. There's a great example of this in the Bible. You ever heard of two brothers by the name of Esau and Jacob? Well, Esau was the elder brother. These were sons of Isaac. And the firstborn back then always had the birthright, and they always got more at the death of the father than they got twice as much as everybody else. That was just what it was. Well, Esau was the older brother, but he come in from hunting one day and tired and hungry and smelled the good food that Jacob was cooking. When Jacob offered him food for his birthright, Esau willingly gave it up. You know, he gave up that. He would become the head of the tribe or the family. He gave it up for food. And he could have went and fixed his own self something to eat. In studying the phrase in the Old Testament, hold fast, this is used in four areas that I want to cover tonight. And let's look at these four areas. You know, Paul tells us to hold fast to sound words. 1 Timothy 1:13. I'm going to read both New King James and the NLT. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ. Now, NLT may explain it a little better. Hold on to the pattern of a wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have for Christ Jesus. Actually, many commentators that you look at, when you look at this word, sound words, is referring to doctrine. Now let's look at Ephesians 4:14 in the NLT and compare what we're saying here. Here it says, hold fast. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching, or hold fast to the pattern of sound words. And then when you look at Ephesians 4:14 in the NLT, it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us and with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Now, this is happening a lot in the day and age in which we're living in the church world. People are not holding on to the truth that they've been taught. Instead, they're running after the latest new teaching that come down the pike, or the latest hot message that somebody has. You know, I've lived for a while, and I've been in the church all my life. I've been preaching myself for 66 years. And I have seen that people have been, they know the truth, But somebody comes by with some new fangled, they call it a new revelation. Well, whenever somebody starts talking about a new revelation, it may sound good and it may smell good, but you better check this Bible and see if it lines up biblically with what the Word of God says. You can take scriptures out of setting and make them say anything about anything you want them to say. I've seen people leave this church and go to this church because, man, it's happening over here. This is where it's going on. And then a couple, 3 years later, oh, I'm going over to this place. This is where it's happening now. Some of you are old enough to remember the Christian television back in the 70s and the 80s, all these guys on there with all these kind of newfangled doctrine, teachings, and so forth. Where are any of them today? You tell me. Hello? Now, I'm not talking about solid people that are still around. They were teaching solid doctrine. I'm talking people that come up with some new twist, new something kind, and you don't even know where they are today. The Apostle Paul said, if he himself come teaching doctrine contrary to what he had taught, counted accursed. If even he came back. You know, I think some people are looking for shortcuts, I guess. And they hear somebody talking about something and, oh, maybe I can get a better blessing. Well, maybe you need to stay where you are, and you might, and don't run around, and you might get blessed. Now, we don't hear this statement much anymore, but back in the 80s and the early 90s, we heard instead of charismatic, people were being called cruise-o-matic. Because they were cruising from this place to that place to that place. They never get established anywhere. And if you study the Word of God, you find out that you need to get established. And that's another subject I need to teach on, but I'm not going to do it tonight. You know, you may think something is a shortcut. And have any of you ever tried to take a shortcut and come to find out it was a long cut? So here he is talking to us, hold on to sound doctrine. If you do, you will not be immature in your Christian walk. You know, too many people, they want what they call, and pardon me if I get on somebody's toes, but I'm just going to do it anyway. They want what they call a Holy Ghost meeting every time. And what they call is a Holy Ghost meeting is people jumping pews and running and shouting and dancing. And that's okay. We need those kind of services. But let me tell you what, without good, solid teaching from the Word of God, you won't be able to maintain against the wiles of the enemy when he comes after you. My dad used to say this all the time. You cannot build a strong foundation in a Christian with shouting and dancing all the time. Now, I realize that's what some people, that's all they call. Man, if you don't have a shout or dance, well, we didn't have very good service tonight. I've heard some people say, man, we had a fantastic service tonight. There was no preaching. Anybody ever heard that? Got a few people that's heard that. Well, why? I don't know why people would say that. I'm glad to have a good service, but listen, you need the meat of the Word of God to stand strong whenever the enemy's coming at you. And let me tell you, as long as you are calling on God and calling yourself a Christian and following God and following what the Bible says, the devil is going to be after you with everything he has. because he hates anything that has to do with God, and he wants to destroy it. And Jesus even told us that, says that he come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so many times he weaves his way into a person's life through somebody teaching a something that sounds good and feels good, but it's not, it has just enough of the word in it to make them think it's good, but it's not. I need to get some amens. This is good preaching, Pastor. This is stuff that'll help you when the storm comes blowing in. You know. Now, let's look at another thing here. Let's look at something else. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Now, here's what I want to get to. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, my dad preached the same thing. In fact, in the book, All Things Are Possible, that Dr. Harrell wrote, he was a professor at the University of Birmingham in Alabama. I sat with my dad when he, as he interviewed him. Some of you Rhema students in the old years gone by, any of you had a course and you had that book, All Things Are Possible. And he had, the reason he was wrote the book, he said, all the denominations are keeping a historical record, but nobody is keeping a historical record of the charismatics. And so he had everybody in there. But if you go find that book, it's called All Things Are Possible by Harrell, H-A-R-R-E-L-L, I believe. I forget his first name now. But when it got, he had everybody. I mean, all of you could name them. Everybody you can name. But when he got to Kenneth Hagin, he said, the thing about Kenneth Hagin is that he has never deviated. He said, all the others have gone off over here and all gone. He is still preaching and teaching the same thing that he taught back in the 1930s. When he come off the, raised off the bed of affliction. You know, some people are always looking for something new. Let me tell you what, my dad used to say, quit hunting new revelation. You haven't even walked in all the revelation you've got yet. I heard him tell a bunch of ministers that one day. I've heard him say it many times. I don't know whether any of you guys ever heard him say that about. Another thing he said, don't go hunting new revelation because the devil will oblige you. Boy, it's getting quiet in here now. I better have some amens because I'm as the old saying goes down there in Texas, I'm shelling down the corn tonight. But the Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. If Paul is saying here to Timothy, rightly divide the word of truth, then it is possible that the word of truth could be twisted and wrongly divided. Hello? Now, people don't like to hear that. I'll tell you what, I don't care who you hear say something. If you can't line it up with three or four scriptures in the word, you better back off and wait and see. Because the Bible says that everything be established on two or three, at least two or three scriptures. Doesn't he say that? Thank you for those 50 people that said amen. You see, rightly, when we need to learn to have, when we have our ears open, we need to be able to learn when to let it stay and when to let it go out the other side. Come on now. We must place a high priority on holding fast to solid, wholesome doctrine of the Word of God and not be mesmerized by somebody that has a great way of speaking. They're a great orator. But just because you're a great orator doesn't mean that you are anointed. Hello. I mean, in speech class, when I was even in college, the professor, he said, "Hagin, you're a good orator." Said, you can take a subject and you begin to talk about it and you make people feel like they can get involved. That's what some of these people that are preaching, they make it sound so good and feel good that you want to jump in and get involved. But is it something you need to jump in and get involved in? Now, I'm just preaching good to my congregation. You know, on Wednesday night, y'all probably notice I'm a little different than I am on Sunday morning. But the reason being is because you're my core group of people. And I want you to be strong so we can help these others that come in our midst. We can help to get them to be strong and not be pulled off by some crazy sounding words. I guess I better go on before I get myself in trouble. Now, let's look at something else here that Paul instructs us to do. Now we go back here. He says to hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test all things, hold fast that which is good. The NLT says, but test everything that is said, hold on to what is good. Hello? The context of this scripture is actually the Spirit-filled life. Now, that's 5:21. Look at 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord. Then look at 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Hello? Then look at verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then in 19, don't quench the Spirit. Verse 20. Despise not prophesying. Then here comes 21. Test all things, hold fast that is good. What are you testing? Just what I talked about. And hold on to the good. You know, we need to be open to the move of the Holy Spirit. But we can't blindly swallow everything that somebody says in a prophecy. Come on now. Some people are so gullible that they're like, you ever seen little birds in a nest? The mom bird comes flying up there with some food in her mouth and the little bird just takes whatever it is. That's the way some Christians are. They've taken everything that comes down the pipe. Everything that's said on the TV and whoever the preacher is, don't care who he is, it's got to be right or he wouldn't be on here teaching. And you know it's got to be true. It's got to be right because they call him prophet so and so. I don't mean this wrong. But everybody that's calling themselves a prophet ain't a prophet. Somebody said, "Well, I challenge you on that." That's fine. Challenge me all you want. I ain't gonna change my stance. I could care less. I think some of these people are like the old boy back in the day. My dad talked about this. Well, I remember down in Dallas, you go down there and we go downtown Dallas, and these people be walking down the street. Now they out here holding signs, but they'd have these deal that went over their shoulders and had advertisement or on both sides, and you'd walk up and down the street with it. Anybody ever seen that? Now they'd carry signs, you know. Well, this old boy, I think it's down there close to there, that drugstore we used to go to there. There's a drugstore on the corner. I forgot what street it was. I was about 9 years old. But it had, back in the, you kids don't know about this. Back in the day, the drugstores, or the pharmacies, you might want to call them, they had a soda counter in the back. Sometimes they served hamburgers, and that's all they'd say, hamburger or some fries. Go in there and get a real chocolate, I mean a real vanilla milkshake, not one made out of soft ice cream, one that they made out of the real hard ice cream. You got to dig it down out in there. And it was right outside this store where this guy was. And he had on a board, and it said, Apostle, Prophet, Evangelist. Now, that was what, but the APNE were in big letters, and from a distance, that's all you see is APE. And my dad, and I'm quoting my dad now, and I didn't say this. My dad said this. So you go argue with him if you want to, if you can find him. You have to go to heaven to do it. He said, all you could see was APE. You know what that spells. And he said, you know, that's probably what he was. Now I got everybody's attention back. Maybe we go on with this tough subject that I'm dealing with tonight. You know, sometimes people make no effort to sort out anything they hear. Just they hear somebody say it. Oh, the brother so-and-so said that. I don't care who he is. Said it. Does it line up with the Word of God? You know, Paul said, to hold fast that which is scriptural. You know, that's something. We got to learn to separate things. And I got to hurry. Now, we come over here in the Hebrews. The writer of the Hebrews, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. They don't have, but it has Paulinian language in it. And for you, that's just a theological term I learned in school. But the language is, you know, you have Johannine literature and the Paulinian epistles and all those words. So it has that feel to it, like Paul would write. Many, many, many scholars think that he was the author of Hebrews. But you don't want to get in an argument with anybody about it because there's no set proof of it. The other in his other epistles, there's a set proof of it. We know that for a fact. But they say if he didn't write it, then it had to be one of his close followers. You don't know. It could have been Timothy. You don't know who wrote it. I mean, we don't have any concrete evidence. But this is what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing hope firm to the end. Now let's read that in NLT. But Christ as the son is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. Now here it says, hold fast the confidence. Confidence, according to Strong's, is outspoken frankness, bluntness, assurance, boldness of speech. That's what people do whenever they make a faith statement according to Mark 11:23. That you got to have the confidence that that scripture is right, and then you got to be able to have bold speech to speak it out when everything looks contrary to what is going on. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? Hold fast to the confidence we have. What is the confidence we have? Christ has redeemed us. He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our soon coming King. He's our protector. And the list goes on. In Christ, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. In Him. This is where your confidence has to go back to redemptive realities of who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. We have a confidence. You see, I don't care what the devil comes at. Well, you know, you couldn't be saved. That they just told you that. Not after as bad a life as you've had. Well, see, that don't make any difference. Our confidence is, and the Word of God says, if we believe in our heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him with our mouth, we are saved. Now, you have to believe that and have confidence in that. Hello? You know, I used to, many, many, many years ago, could run down that aisle and jump and land on that platform. But before you try to do that, you better have confidence that you can. Hello? Because if you miss, it's gonna hurt. Anybody ever thought you had confidence and you tried something? Yeah, me too. You see, we hold fast to the truths of who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do because we're in Christ, and we have confidence in that, and we live our lives in Christ. There's a little book out there in the bookstore my dad put together called In Him. It's got all the In Him verses in it telling you who you are in Christ. You know? Now, let's look at Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. NLT says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Do not cast it away. Hold on to it. The devil will try to do everything he can to rob you of your confidence in God's word. It's all right here, the word of God. Our confidence comes not in our own strength, but in the strength that comes from knowing who we are in Christ and what God said. Now, the writer of Hebrews also tells us, hold fast to our confession of faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He is faithful who promised. Now, look at this, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then we have the great cloud of witness, great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. The word confession or profession simply means the same thing to affirm what we believe. 2 Corinthians 4:13 tells us that we have the same spirit of faith, so we speak. Now, that's actually, Paul there is actually quoting something that the psalmist said. We have the same spirit of faith. We believe, we speak. Now, I want to read more. Of course, that's Mark 11:23, right out the door. But I want to read this in the Johnson paraphrase as I close this up tonight. Truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, dump yourself in the lake. Now, here's what I want you to get a hold of. And does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement or have his say. Don't become separated. You hold your confidence when it don't look like it. You don't let anything separate you from the words. Never change what you say. Maintain a confession of faith. But hold fast. We started off with this. Hold fast that what you have till I come. That's sound doctrine. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Remember, don't let go. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you see. I don't care who got what and who didn't get something. Hold on to your confession. Somebody said to me one time, well, I saw this guy and he was confessing. He didn't get it. I said, I don't care. Don't make me no difference. I'm not going to change my confession because I know what God said. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Everybody stand. Praise the Lord. It's 8 o'clock right on the nose. Our power. I told you. Okay. Praise the Lord. Raise your hands and thank God for what you have in Christ Jesus. Thank God for all the blessings that you have because of him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. If you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus, your personal Savior, the ladies are over here, the men are over here. If you'll come down here and pray with them, you won't leave here like you came. Or if you're in this place tonight and you know what it is to serve Christ, but you got off course, you made a detour, you just need to come and rededicate yourself. Come and pray with them. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, gave them utterance. Come down, they'll pray with you, and you can receive the Holy Spirit tonight. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front. They'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Sunday morning right here, School of the Bible, 9 o'clock. Morning worship, 10 o'clock right here. I'll be here. I'll be expecting to see you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to hold on to what God has given me. And you're dismissed. We'll see you Sunday.